Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Nun Hey. We're holding two lines from the bottom of Nun Dalid Amid Beis. And the Gemara asked already yesterday, and we're going to continue asking a series of kashas on Rav Nachman. What did Rav Nachman say? If you go about 8-9 lines from the bottom of Nun Dalid Amid Beis, Om Rav Nachman, Kesela ki yeser mi kesela ki iser ki yeser mi ki iser. The halacha that really applied to us and why we brought Rav Nachman had to do with the Isser Kiyasa Miki Isser. What was that Isser Kiyasa Miki Isser? You'll remember back on Nun Dalid Omer Aleph in the Mishnah, it said that the Elu Kshedith by Behema, the following are kosher by Behema. What was kosher? If you had a situation of the Gargaris, the Kona, had either a hole in it or it had a split down the middle, until what point would we say it's still kosher? Said Reb Shimon Gamliel, "Ad ki isur hitalki, as long as the hole, as long as that split down the middle, was not larger than isur hitalki, you're okay. Once you go more than isur hitalki, you're in trouble. What's isur hitalki? That's the name of a matbea of a particular coin, a coin called an isur. Okay. Now the question is, if the hole in the kana was 0.999." of an Isser, clearly that would be kosher. If the hole in the Kana was 1.0001, then clearly it would not be kosher. Question is, what happens if it's exactly an Isser? Does it have a din that it is still kosher because I say the Isser is like less than an Isser? Or do I say that that Isser is like more than an Isser and it's not kosher? What is that totally in? The Lashon of the Mishnah. The Lashon of the Mishnah is Ad Kama Techaser. Until what point? Said Reb Shimon Gamliel, Ad Ki Isser Hitalki. So we have this Shaila throughout Shas. It's not just a Gemara Daf Nun Dalet in Chulin. Every time it says Ad, do we say Ad Vi Ad Bechlal? Or do we say Ad Veloy Ad Bechlal? So therefore, when it says Ad Ki Isser Hitalki, until an Isser, does that mean not only 0.99, but also an Isser, and it's still kosher? Or do we say, no, ad v'loy ad b'chlal, until an Isser, 0.999, it's kosher. Once you hit that Isser, it is now osur. It is taka already treif. And that's what we had Rav Nachman that said yesterday, that when you have the din of ki Isser, it's ki yesemi ki Isser. And just like yesemi ki Isser is totally treif, Isser is also treif. But it's in the Mishnah that it's kosher ad ki iser. So Rav Nachman, ad v'loy ad b'chlal. When it says ad, it means until, but not including. So 0.99 of an iser is taka eluk sheiros. But once you hit that iser, all the alarms go off, all the bells go off, and it is now awesome. The Gemara asked two kashas yesterday from a chabal yoytzim and amita. We're going to go back to that a little bit later. But now we're going to focus on Toshima, two lines from the bottom of the Amid. The next three kashas are all combined. They're all a Mishnah in Masechtas Kelim. Masechtas Kelim, as you probably all know, is a very, very long Masechta, 30 Prakim, quite complicated, quite difficult. And the focus on all of these Kelim is Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. That's why Masechtas Kelim, of course, is in Seder Taharas. So, this particular Mishnah that we're going to quote now is talking about a kli that starts off at a particular size. If the kli, of course, is Gans means that it is complete, no shever, no breakage, and a sheret were to fall either on the outside, if we were talking about regular kelim. In this particular case, Rashi says we're talking about a kli cheres. So you had your sheretz falling inside the kli. At what point would you go and say that the keli is mekabel tumah? I mean, at what point? If the sheretz falls in, it's a kli cheres mekabel tumah. Well, it depends on the size. If it's really very, very small, that virtually nothing fits into it, then it's not mekabel tumah. That's not so much the focus of today's Gemara. Rather, the focus is going to be what happens if it was a larger kli, but unfortunately it broke. But you could still use those shvarim for certain purposes. At what point to go and say what is the shear of that shever kli that it's still mekabel tumah? After all, how does one be metayer a kli cheres in the first place? You can't put it in the mikvah. It's shvirasan zuita rasan. The shvira, the fact that you take a kli cheres and you break it or it breaks, that itself is metayer. Oh, one second. That if the shards of a kli are worthless, if you could still use those shards for any type of purpose, not mamish any, but we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, then it still retains its shame kli, and it can still be mekabel tuma. Now the question is, how large does that shard have to be to continue to be able to be susceptible to mekabel tuma? It depends on its origins. How large was the kli originally? If the kli was very, very small originally, even if the shard is very small, it's mekabel tumah. If the kli was larger, then the shard has to be larger. So now you're thinking to yourself, well, what are those shiurim? That's exactly what the Mishnah is that we're going to quote. It's really one long Mishnah. We're going to quote it in three segments. Yes?
When I lived in Haifa, Givat Shikmona, and we went there, and there was a lot of harisim, broken things.
Right.
And they were like big like this. Mm-hmm. And I used to use them as a...
For dips?
Not dips, but a spoon.
So. What means you use them for a spoon? You put a spoon on it?
You spoon things with it.
You spoon things with it. I mean, that little...
That was okay. My spoon.
Very good. Okay, beautiful. Good.
So now then, the question for you.
No, it's not a question for me. Based on what we're saying in the Gemara, you'll see that it is mekabel tumah, but only if this was a shard. Meaning, if that's the way it was created originally, that's a separate story.
Right.
We're talking about if it was a broken piece of kli cheres and had that piece that you can use as a spoon, then it would be big enough to go and be mekabel tumah.
Usually it was in the ocean and it was already all kind of...
smooth over?
Yes, yeah, smooth over. It was all smooth, but it was
worn
really
down,
nice,
worn,
like pieces like that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Do you have a picture of it? Did you make a painting? No? I should. Okay, but anyway, the question that you're raising is very good, and it's going to be addressed, as you'll see, in the Gemara Mi'at Hashem. So now, it is, for those of you that are not happy about taxes, this Mishnah, you'll see, goes in tax brackets. In other words, the size of the shard to continue to mekabel tumah depends on how large the original kli was. Was the original kli the shear of a loik? Was it the shear of a sa'ah? Was it the shear of sosayim? We keep on going larger and larger shiurim of the original kli. And now when that original kli broke, what is the size of the shard? How much can you still use it for? All of this sounds kind of esoteric. You'll see now it's very clear in the Mishnah, Toshima. Hadakin should be kli cheres. Dakin means that it's a small kli cheres. Hein v'karkro yiseyem, v'doifan yiseyem, yoishvin shaloi misumachin, shiuran b'chtei sichas koton. What does that mean? Hein means, in its original form, as a dakin shibli cheres, means small. Or, what happens if, unfortunately, this kli fell to the ground and it broke? And now the karkari sein. Karkari sein means like the word karka, the bottom of the kli. V'doifan yiseyem, and the walls of the kli. Yoishvin shaloi misumachin. They are able to sit on a table, lie on the table, without giving them any support. In other words, sometimes you have a broken kli. To make sure that it still has utility, you have to put something underneath it to go and keep it steady so that it should be able to function as a kli. Here we're talking about shaloi misumachin. It does not need any support. This shard on its own, this broken piece of kli cheres, can still be used. What it can be used for? Shi'uran bechtei sichas cotton. You can use it for smearing on a cotton. It doesn't say clearly what that amount is, but there is a pirush from one of the Rishonim on Mishnayis in Kalim called the Rash, Reish Shin with two Shrech Lech on top. That Rash says that the shear is a very, very small amount. 1/96th of a loig, almost infinitesimal. A little bit you can go and take, dip your finger in for a little, two or three drops of oil to go and smear on the cotton. Sorry, what was that?
Like a 1%.
Like 1%. Oh, so very good. So says the Gemara, that says the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, so if it can hold a shear of kedei sichas cotton, and originally in its origins when it was a full-fledged kli, it was ad loig, it was up to the shear of a loig, so all of its left, as you said, is about 1%, 1/96th of that. That is sufficient that it should be mekabel tumah. So if this broken piece, you cannot even spoon a amount of a sichas cotton, it's not mekabel tumah. So that goes and addresses Reb Reuven Halaivi's shalom about this piece of kli cheres. If it's so small that you can't even spoon a little bit of sichas cotton to shmir on a cotton, then it's not mekabel tumah. But if it's enough of a shear of kedeach sichas cotton, you're 1/96 of a loig, yeah, enough for a drop, 2 drops, 3 drops of oil to shmir in a cotton, oh, then it's makabel tumah. Once again, it has to be that the shear of the original kli was the shear of a loig. Zekt Yomara, my love, loig kilamata. So now we have to start thinking to ourselves when we say ad loig, ad vi ad bechlal, ad v'loi ad bechlal. Wouldn't it make sense to go and say, my love, loig kilamata? What means loig kilamata? That just like we said, that if it has today a shear kedei sichas cotton, but originally it had a shear of a loig. So if it was a 0.999 of a loig, says the Gemara, the shear would be b'chdei sichas cotton. If it was more than originally, more than a loig, it was 0.1.001, then we'd go into a new bracket. And the Gemara is going to tell us in another moment that bracket is, it has to be, that you can continue using that shard for a revius haloik, a quarter of a loik. That's, of course, now we're going 24 times larger than the shear of kedei sichas cotton. So that is if the original kli was much larger, miloik ad so'o, as we'll see in the Mishnah the Gemara is going to quote in a moment. So now the question is, for this shard, this shever kli, to mekabel tumah, how large does it have to be originally? So if it was less than a loig, you only need at this point that it she a shear of kedei sichas cotton. If it's more than a loig, then originally, then you have to have a revius haloig currently. What happens if it happens to be exactly a loig? My love, loig kilamata. Wouldn't you say loy kilamata that as long as you have this small amount, shir kedei sichas cotton, it's mekabel tuma, and therefore we're saying ad the ad bichlal, akasha on Rav Nachman. So no, so the shver, when it says ad, it means taka ad, the loy ad bichlal. Loy, lug kilamala. If it's exactly a lug, it has the status of the next Mishnah, which we're going to learn in another 3 seconds. That Mishnah says, no, it's not enough that the remaining shard is kedei sichas cotton. It gets propelled into a higher bracket. It has to be at least a revius haloi.
Yeah, once the kli is broken, though,
yeah,
this level of precision is going to be very hard to ascertain, so it's going to be a suffix. So if you have the suffix, was it adalog? What do you do in a situation? You can't reassemble it. It's a
for sure
not.
And when you buy it, don't you normally ask the storekeeper?
This is Kerech Halog, okay? And since these are all handmade kelim, you can't go to China and look at the where it was made, and the ones that it's all mm-hmm. handmade kelim.
Mm-hmm.
This my question.
How much does this seltzer bottle contain?
This is a quart.
It says 1 liter, 33.8
fluid ounces. It's all standardized things, but once it's broken, so my question is, when you have the suffix now, the Dieved now,
mm-hmm.
now it's broken, the kli is broken, you can't ascertain it. And
if you don't know, you're going to have to be machmir, and therefore you're going to have to assume that it was the lesser shear originally.
And so you need
you only need a sichas cotton 1/96.
That's my question. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So this is a deraisa we're being machmir.
Yes, exactly. We're going to address that in another couple of minutes.
A brick is also a
normal, regular brick. It's made out of stone, made out of
ceramic.
Ceramic. And what can you use it for?
You build a building.
Building houses.
Building with kli cheres.
Yeah.
doesn't seem to me that that. I'm afraid it may not last, but anyway.
They do it.
They do it? Okay.
Yeah,
fine.
Of course. All the
does it have Torah's Kli? Yeah. Or does it have a base kibble?
Normally Avonim are not Mekabel Tumah. Normally
it's not
an Evan. It's in Kli Cheres.
It's a Kli Cheres. They do it from Chemar. They're making bricks.
What do you mean? Bricks are more sturdy, aren't they?
Sorry, once again?
Bricks are more sturdy. They used to build brick homes. They were much more sturdier now.
I see. Sturdy. So we're not talking about the type of Kli Cheres that we use.
Bricks are traditional. Solid.
Okay, so bricks are really not a Kli Cheres. It's a brick. I don't think it's Mekabel Tumah, but that's why there are 30 prokim of Masechtas Kelim that go through every possible.
But once it's attached to the ground, it certainly doesn't Mekabel Tumah.
And then it becomes Mechuber LeKarka.
Right.
Okay, anyway, so on
and
to.
Why is the description why if it's larger than a lube?
The Gemara is going to say that these are Shi'urei Chachomim Lahachme. When it comes to Hilchos Tumah B'Tahara, the Chachomim gave these Shi'urim. We'll see in another minute or two. Anyway, so we wanted to go and catch Rav Nachman and say, oh, don't you see it's ad v'ad b'chlal? He said, no, I can learn ad v'loy ad b'chlal. No problem whatsoever. So says Yimor Toshima, let's go to the next bracket. We said that originally the first dak in Shibuk Yicheres was basically from the shear of zero to the shear of up to a loig. And the question was, up to and including, not including. What happens if we get into the next bracket, mi loig ad so'o? It was much larger. If you're wondering what's the difference between a loig and a saw has in it 24 loigin. Really? Sure, because many will tell you, but ask a lab goidu, and therefore every saw has in it, many, how many? Kavin? 6 kavin. And every kav has in it, how many loigin? 4. So 6 times 4 gets you to 24. So you have from loig at saw, now the shear is taka 24 times larger than the previous year, because the previous year we said is 1/96 of a loig, and now we're saying it's a quarter of a loig. So in one quarter you would have 24 times as much. 24 times 4 gets you to 96, as all of you are aware. Anyway, so we started off with a larger kli. It started from a loig, it went till a saw. Unfortunately it broke, and now we're wondering to ourselves, is a Mekabel Tumah or not? If you have a shard, which you don't have to prop up, it's on the table, sitting there, and you can fill it still with a revius of a loig, that's large enough that it's Mekabel Tumah. But if it's not large enough to go be Mekabel revius, even though it's large enough to be Mekabel Ashir Kedeach Sichas Cotton, sorry, that kli is basically has been broken to smithereens, but it can fit up a quarter of a revius, a half of a revius. 90% of revius. No, the shear at this point, it has to be revius and more to go and continue to be susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah. And we start off with the same question again, Rav Nachman. It just says, Meloik Adso, my love, wouldn't you say, means so'o kilamata, that even though this shear of the original kli was up to a saw, and including a saw, the shear was as long as it's still these shards, these shivra kelim, can still hold the revius, it's still makabel tumah. So I see that it's ad the ad bichlal. When we say ad so is included in the mixture, in the configuration, in the shiur. The tumah loy so is kamal. Once the original kli hit, in fact, the shiur of a saw, now it gets propelled into the next bracket. What is the next bracket? Toshima, same Mishnah. Once that kli is now misov ad sasayim, it's much larger. It's not just a saw. From saw till two saw, double the shear, anywhere in between. Now the shard is kachatz u bachatzi loik. The shear is now not a revius loik. It's been doubled, just like from saw to sasayim are doubled, exactly proportionately. So now we're taking the same revius and saying revius is not enough. If you have a shevra kli that was originally a nice, large, big kli, sovad sasayim, and now the shard is large enough that it can hold a shear kidei sichas koton, that's not large enough, not mekabel tumah. But it can hold a revius, sorry, not mekabel tumah. But it can hold a chatzil, it has a chashivas of a kli, it is susceptible to mekabel tumah. And now we have the same question again. My love sasayim kilamata, wouldn't you go and say that Sasayim Kilimata, that even though the Kli is exactly Sasayim, it's not up to and including. My love, Sasayim Kilimata is up to and including, that Sasayim has the same din as long as the shard is enough for a Chatzi Loi, then the halacha is it's still Mekabel. Tomorrow, Sasayim Kilimala. Sasayim, in fact, has to be like the higher shear. Our Gemara doesn't tell us what the higher shear is, but Rashi tells us that the Mishnah says that it's beloig shalem. At this point, if the shear of the kli is sasayim and greater, we don't go beyond sasayim and greater. Apparently, you'd have to look up Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, but apparently from sayim now all the way up to achvais, 10,000 gallons, it's all the same shear. And what is that shear? That if the shard can hold a loig shalem, then it continues to be makabel tumah. So you see that we keep on going up, and each time the Gemara assumed my love kilamata, and therefore it's ad the ad bechlal, says in only one love davka. You can go and say ad veloy ad bechlal each time. So therefore we've reflected all of these kashas on Rav Nachman. But there's one problem. Although that was the Mishnah in Kalim, there's a braisa which is appended to that Mishnah, and says, Vatanya loy kilamata, sa'o kilamata, sasayim kilamata, meaning that each time we do say ad the ad bichlal. And just to give the example again of the loik, if you have a loik where the original kli was exactly a loik, not less and not more, what's the din of the shever kli? How much does it have to hold to still be makabel toma? Kedei sichas katan. Why is that? Because loig, exactly loig, has the same status as lamata, as if it was less than a loig. What would be the difference whether I said it was more than a loig or less than a loig? Because if I said that a loig has the status of more than a loig, and the shivrei kli, the shard, was only able to hold the sichas katan, then it would be tohor. The only time it would be tameh, if I would go and say that this holds a larger quantity. So by saying loy kilamata, I'm being a machmir, because I'm saying it still can go mi makabel tuma, even though the amount that we're putting into it is a drop, 1/96 of a loy. Because if I would say loy kilamala, then you'd have to have a kli that is able to retain now, a shever kli, able to retain a quarter of a loy. But this shard doesn't retain a quarter of a loy, so therefore it will be tahar. So it's important that we focus that loy is kilamata, so kilamata, same kilamata, that we go with the smaller shiurim, that is each time they see chaskotin, revius a loy, shlishis a loy, etc., to go and tell us, I'm sorry, not shlishis, shlish a loy, right?
No,
revius and chatzi loy, I'm sorry, thank you for the correction. So a revius a loy and a chutzi loy, each time we keep on going to a larger quantity. So the fact that we say that it's lamata is each time a chumra, right? I hope everybody understands that. How do we see that it's a chumra? Because if I would say that the loik goes like lamala, then to make it susceptible to kabbalah's tuma, it has to be larger. It has to be able that this shard can hold on to a revius loik. But it cannot hold a revius loik. It can only hold sheer kedei sichas katan. Well, once the original kli was more than a loik, then it's tahar. That shard is goonish. It's not worth a nickel, and you throw it into the wastebasket. However, if you're telling me that loig is kalmata, so that means it still have the smaller bracket, and now when they have the shir kadech, sichas katan, then in fact it would be tamei. By saying that these are each time kalmata, 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 so it's tamei. Is doch shver now on Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman said, ad v'loy ad bechlal, and this braisa says very clearly, ad the ad bechlal, that the shir ad loig includes the loig, the shir ad so includes the so. Everything mara hosam lechumra. Now, although it says hosam lechumra, the toisis on the bottom, very short toisis, see hosam lechumra, five, six lines on the bottom, all of the answers that we gave until now, that it's lamala, 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 no, goes into the next bracket, it's ad v'leah b'chal, we push that aside, v'havik k'moy ella. You should go and be goyis in the Gemara as if it said in the word ella. meaning Ella Hasam Lechumra. What does that mean, Hasam Lechumra? Yem Babo Omer Biyuchanan Kol Shiuri Chachomim Lihachmir Chutz Meki Gris Shel Ksamim Lehakel. All the Shiur Mechacham that the Chacham gave, for instance, in all of these Kalim, the Shiur is always Lehachmir. So therefore, since Lahachmer means that I'm going to continue to assume that this kli is susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah, so then if you have a Shaila, in which bracket does it go? Automatically, by definition, it's going to go in the lower bracket, where even the smallest amount, Kedei Sichas Katan, if a shard can hold that amount, it's Mekabel Tumah. Come on, this shard is so small, so Chagoyah. But that is the svara behind this. So it's no longer according to Rav Nachman, according to our Gemara, that we have a rule of ad vi ad bechlal or ad v'loy ad bechlal. What the Gemara is essentially telling us is, it's in each case, see whether it's a chumra or it's a kula. If it happens to be a chumra, if ad v'loy ad bechlal is a chumra, ad v'loy ad bechlal. If ad v'loy ad bechlal leads to a kula, then we're going to say ad vi ad bechlal. There's no set rule of ad, v'loy ad, or ad v'ad. The set rule is whether we're going l'chumra or l'kula. And all of these halachas dealing with hilchas tumah v'tahara, by definition with the kli, what size of the kli is makabel tumah? Not that's a diraisa. A diraisa, you have a kli cheris and makabel tumah. In terms of what the shear of a shaver kli is, that the Rabbi Yishlom left for the Chumim. The Chumim went and legislated these various shiurim, since they affect Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, which is a Deraisa. You have to go to Hachmer. The only exception is a Gris Shoksam. Gris Shoksam means if you have a Nida who does not see flowing blood, but rather finds blood on her Beged, and then that's what we call a Kesem, a spot. So then the shear is, if it's a Gris, then we have to go and say that the lady, unfortunately, is a nida, and then she has to count whatever she has to count, depending where she is in her cycle, etc. So what if it's less than a gris? She's gunish. If it's more than a gris, then you have to be machmir. The question is, what's exactly a gris? Exactly a gris, we're going to be mekel. Why are we going to mekel? Says Rashi, because by a nida, the Torah says, she only has the status of nida dom yia zoiva bibsara. If there's an actual flow of blood emanating from the body, how would I know? I mean, after all, how did the kesem get on this beged in the first place? Says the Gemara, not here, but in Maseches Nida, that we can go and be toila that it was a macholis. Macholis means a dead louse, which is a very lousy situation, but it's very, very good situation for the lady and for her husband, that if, in fact, the amount of the kesem was less than a gris, we're not going to be toilet in body blood, we're going to be toilet it in that louse, in that macholis. If it happens to be exactly a gris, so what should I do now? Can it be toilet hokel, toilet hachmir? I can be toilet hokel, because mina toilet, the only din of anida is flowing blood, dum yezay besar. So how do I know whether it came from the blood or not? So Agamar doesn't go into it, but the Gemara Maseches Nida says that normally she would go and feel that flow. In fact, the Gemara says that normally at the onset of the Nida period, the woman feels like her body is kind of heavier. That's so therefore, if she had no such sensation, she had no feel, she just wakes up in the morning and she finds that there happens to be a kesem on one of her begodim, less than a gris is gunish. More than a gris, unfortunately, is a nida midrabanan. Exactly a gris, we're going to go and be mekel. Why? Because the whole din is derabanan. Because shir chacham lahach mechut yishok sam and lahakel, because that's derabanan. So, Gemara, don't think that this teretz is kind of a manufactured teretz. No. Dekanami diktani Allah dahi. Going back to the Gemaras that we had yesterday with the chevel sticking out of the mita. Remember that the base of the foundation of the mita was a rope that was connected to all of the four different posts of the body, thank you, bedposts, and that's what was holding up the straw or whatever was placed on top of it. So we said, what happens if there's a piece of rope which is sticking out? Oh, says our Bryce over here, Chamisha Kilamala Asora Kilamata. What's that all about? So if you go just quickly back to the Omid Beis of yesterday, remember we had two questions. The first one was six lines from the bottom. Chevel ha-yoytzim in ha-mita. Ad chamisha tfachim is tohar. If it's up to 5 tefachim sticking out, this chevel, in other words, was extra rope that was not needed, but it's a relatively small piece. Ad chamisha tefachim. Until chamisha tefachim, it is tar. So then we ask what happens if it's chamisha tefachim or more. My love, chamisha kilamata, says Gemara, loy chamisha kilamala. Says our Gemara now, chamisha staka kilamala. Once it's kilamala, that means that it's susceptible to be makabel tumah. If it's less than 5 tvachim, it's 0.499999 tvachim, or 4.999 tvachim, you didn't get to 5 tvachim, it's not choshev. What would the normal person do? Just leave it there. Does it bother you? It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother you. You want to cut it off? Cut it off. What am I going to do with it? Just put it in the wastebasket. Nobody needs that small little piece of rope. She's gunish. So it's not makabel tumah. But once it gets to 5, as the Gemara said yesterday, between 5 and 10, it does get a chashivas. If it gets a chashivas, then it is mekabel tumah. If it's exactly 5, kilamala, and it will be mekabel tumah. On the other hand, what happens if it's from 5 to 10? What's the din by 10? From 5 to 10, we said it is mekabel tumah. Once it's over 10, it's not mekabel tumah anymore. Why not? So Rashi said, because it's oimidli kotzeit. Nobody's going to leave such a nice amount of rope attached to the bed, so therefore it will no longer be ancillary or accessory to the bed, but rather you're going to eventually snip it off. So at this point, it's not a bed material, it's just lying there, but it is considered to be like a yad of the bed, so it's makabel tumah. But once it gets over 10, 10.001, then it's no longer makabel tumah because it's osli kotzeit. Once you cut it off, then it'll be makabel tumah, but not in its present form. That
is, after you cut it off, it's not makabel tumah because it's a piece of rope, and a rope is not
makabel tumah. Oh, it depends on what the size is.
Right, so if I'm 10 and more, then it's a piece of rope. A piece of rope is garnished. It's not, it's got some makabel tumah.
It's a kli. It's a kli.
That's not a kli. It's a kli when it's part of the meat tub, and it's not a kli
when it's more than 10, it's tar.
Tar.
Good. What you're saying is exactly like Rashi says. If you go back to the Rashi of yesterday, 6-7 lines from the bottom, when I say 6 or 7, ad the ad bechlal, yeah, including 7 lines, the ad asora tumah, you have that, kidabar shinan, until 10. It is between 5 and 10, it's makabel tumah. Umi asora velachutz, once it goes over 10, it's tohar. The yoisimida yesh, there's too much sticking out, people are going to trip on it, it has no purpose over there, and therefore, vo'im li kotis, and you're going to go and cut it. The chevel bifnei atzmai, when you have a chevel on its own, when you're going to go and cut it, what's it in? Loi mekabel tumah. Why? To tovi va'orig be'inan. You need, for purpose of a beg, it's not, certainly not a kli. You can't use a rope for a kli, but you can use it, quote-unquote, for a beg. It's got to be, for a beg, it's got to be tovi va'orig. Tovi va'orig means it has to both be, first you have to spin the thread, and then you have to orig, then you have to weave it. Then it has the status of a beggar. But a chevel bifnei atzmai, as you were saying, is not mekabel tumah. But from 5 until 10 is mekabel tumah. Why? Because it's attached to the bed. The bed certainly is mekabel tumah. Now, if you're wondering, what would I use a chevel attached to the bed between 5 and 10? Rashi says something fascinating. We know that in the very first Korban Pesach that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us in the Midbar. What did they do with it, Floyd? They tied it to the bedpost. Apparently, from the Rashi, they continued that as a mishmeres, as a remembrance, as the Koran. See, look at the previous Rashi. Mechamisha ulamala. Ki ois mechamisha v'tomei. Ki tomei taima b'mstach des kelim. Mechamisha v'arasore tomei. Sheboi koishin es hapsochim zeicher. L'peisam mitzrayim. Chsev isru chag ba'boisim. Ad kind of zbeach, k'siv ha'yil lechem le'mishmaris, u'boi mishalshalin es ha'mita. With that piece between the 5 and the 10, they would go initially be mishalshalin ha'mita, but the extra that's left over, they would go and use for that carbon Pesach. So it had a purpose, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. Okay, so now the question is, what happens if it gets to the point of exactly 10? Since Rashi said that once it's 10 or more, we're going to go and cut it off, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah because it's not a beged, it's not tovid v'orig, it's not a kli, it's a gunisht. But when it's still attached to the mita, it still has a chashivus. So what happens if it's exactly 10? What's the din? So we have in the braisa, asorat kilamata. It is mekabel tumah. So this is fascinating. If it's chamisha from 5 until 10, if it's exactly 5, it's mekabel tumah. If it's exactly 10, it's mekabel tumah. If it's drop less than 5, not mekabeltum. A drop more than 10, not mekabeltum. So therefore, the chamishes has to be kilamala, meaning exactly 5, is as if it's between 5 and 10, it's as if it's 5.1, as if it's 6, it's 7. Once you hit asara, don't say asara is like 11 or 12, because then you would say it's not mekabeltum. No. The 10 is as if it's 9 or 8, and it continues to be mekabeltum, this is lamala, this is lamata. Oh, they kenami dusataka emes. Any shir chachamim yigoli hachmir, with the exception of the kesem by the ish. Okay, this is probably the most difficult part of today's Gemara, and we continue on. Nitel atchay, Amar Rav Avira, Mishmei de Rava, said Rav Avira, remember Rav Avira, we're going to have him on the Amid Beis again. Lo yishanu el nitel. And back in the Mishnah, we said that the choyl, the spleen, was totally missing, not a drop of spleen left over. The animal is kosher. Avil nikev, if there's a hole in the spleen, then it's treifa. Now, of course, this sounds counterintuitive. You don't have any spleen at all, it's kosher. But if there's a nekev, it's treifa. Why would that be?
And
the infection
could spread.
To where? To other parts of the body. Very good. And that's number one. Number two, says Rashi, it's also because it's painful. If there's no spleen at all, the animal doesn't think about it, so you should forget about it. However, if there's a nekev, if there's a puncture, it's like having a puncture, chas v'sholem, in one of your body cavities, one of your body organs. Same thing with the animal. So to Rashi, with this Rashi. If you look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom of the Rashi, it's middle of the line. Shoydei nekev hu hoylech hu moisiv machoiv v'acholi rav begufa. The machoiv is the kaev, that's the pain. The choli rav begufa, I believe, is like you're saying, that the infection, the fact that it has a hole, then bacteria can set in, it can spread not only through the whole spleen, but from the spleen too, twice to the liver, to the dakin, to the kove, to the hair, to the there, whatever. That is very problematic because of the pain and the possibility of it spreading. So, getting back to the Gemara, nitol is takagunish, abanikiv is treifa. Most of Rabbi Yosef bar Avi, me same Rabbi Yosef bar Zvido, they're asking a kasha on Rab Avira Mishmei Derom. Choytech mi uber shibmei eha mutter bachila minat choylu mina kloyes osa bachila. You have a female animal that is muuberis, and for some strange reason, the person decided, the veterinarian decided to go and cut one of the limbs of the uber inside the mommy's womb. Inside. Why? Maybe they did it, they figured it was a medical reason they had to do it. Doesn't matter. The point is, they cut off an aver. Now, were you to go and remove that aver, we're talking, of course, of a behemoth, were you to remove that aver at this point from the body and go and eat it, chas v'sholom, you'd be over on the iser of aver min hachai. But you decided, let's leave it inside the animal, I severed it, keep it there. And what happens? A day later, a month later, we shech the animal. Are you allowed to eat the child inside the animal after the shechita?
Yeah.
It's a ben pekuah. You're allowed to go and eat it. You don't need a new shechita min
hatoyah. The aim is metired.
Sorry again?
The shechita of the mother is metired.
Very good. Beautiful. Now the question is, what about that severed piece? Says Rabbi Yosef bar Zvida, Shema Braisa, that not only are you allowed to go and eat the uber, but even that aver menachayim min ha-uber, even that aver that you severed, it doesn't get the status of aver menachay, but rather it's mutter b'achil. Why is it mutter b'achil? Says Rashi, because it says in the pasuk, koil ba behema toichelu, anything inside the behema you can eat. What is this lashon koil ba behema? Even that severed limb from the uber, it's inside the behema, toichelu, you're allowed to go and eat. However, what happens if you're talking about any behema? It doesn't have to be dafka, a female pregnant behemoth, any behemoth, and you go and cut a piece from the tchoil, from the spleen, or you cut from the cloyus, from the kidneys, and leave it in the behemoth, and now you shech the behemoth subsequently, and you find inside the behemoth, oyoyoy, the tchoil has been severed partially, or the cloyus has been severed, but you left the pieces inside. That's already osur bachila, that you're not allowed. Didn't you just tell me there's a pasuk mikol ba'behema teichelu? Says Rashi, yes, there is such a pasuk, but there's another pasuk that says oisa teichelu, and the Amar Dash is from oisa when it's shleima v'loy chaseira. So the mommy animal, only if that piece is still inside, is part of an animal which is a shleima. But if the animal is no longer shleima because I've cut a piece of the teichelu, piece of the cloyes, those cannot be eaten even post shechita. Osa b'achila. Said now the Gemara is medayik. It's masha that choylin the kloyus you're not allowed to eat. A behema gufa sharia, but the rest of the behema you'd be allowed to eat. How can you eat the rest of the behema? It has a psul. What's the psul? Rabbi Avira said in the name of Rava that if there's a nikev, if there's a nekev, then it's treifa. And Rashi says lechoyra if it has a nekev it's treifa. So wouldn't you say nechtach is greater? Rashi says ein chituch b'loy nekev. How can you go and cut it without making a hole? By definition, if you're going to cut it, you're going
to sever it.
You're going to sever. You're going to puncture it. You're going to make a hole in it. So isn't that shver taka? Why does it say in the Gemara? According to Rava, it's treif. According to this price, only the choyl itself and the kloyas you can't eat, but the rest you can eat. The Gemara gives two answers. Terence number one, who adin dafil behemen nami asir. The truth of the matter is, a bavira mishmei the Rava is correct that you're not allowed to eat not only from the choyl of the kloyas, you can't eat the whole behemah. So why does it say menat choyl menat kloyas asir ba'achila? Smash with the rest of the behemah can be eaten. Oh. I did it on a ratio. Since the ratio said mutter b'achila on the chituch of the uber, the Braisa wants to tell us a chiddush that you should know, even though this would appear to be an Avram Menachai, since I severed a limb from the uber before the shechita and I left it inside. Great news. It's mutter b'achila. Ah, so that little aver that I left inside is mutter b'achila. So probably if I cut the tchoylet kloyes, it would also be mutter b'achila because I left it inside. No, tanas eva, aser b'achila. And not only will the tchoylet and the kloyes be aser b'achila, but the entire behem is aser b'achila. Why? Because the bavira said in the name of Rava, even if it's just a nekev it's treifa, is l'choyra kolshkin. If I have a chituch, it certainly is going to be treifa. So that's teretz number one. V'ibay yiseima. And the second teretz is nikev l'chud v'nechtach l'chud. If it has a chaticha that you cut it, that you severed it, it was a clean cut, you severed it, guess what? That behema will be kosher. If it makes a nekev that you went and punctured it, that's going to be treif. Then you say to yourself, yesh b'chlal masayim mona, within a nechtach you have a nekev. That's where we had that Rashi that we quoted before. If you look at Rashi, five lines from the bottom, who went in the behema nam yasira, the chomir nikev, that was chomir nikev and nechtach, mi nitle gamri. But here we're saying is that the nekev is worse than the nechtach. I did toneration, but no. So no Rashi directly on this. So the point is, if it happens to be nechtach, a clean cut, so to speak, so then the svar is either that there is less pain, and or there's less chance of getting an infection. If you have a nikev, a nekev smack in the middle, that could lead to bacteria coming in and it could spread. And number two, it could be more painful than the nechtach. I mean, logically, I would have thought otherwise, but the Gemara tells us that's not necessarily the case. You could have a nekev that's worse than the nechtach. So it's nishver on Rava, when Rava said nekev is treif, a nekev is taka treif, but if it's nechtach, a clean slice, then it is kosher after all. Not the spleen itself, but the rest of the behemah. And then the Mishnah said nitla kloyes, that if you were missing kidneys in the animal, it's still kosher. Omer ochish bar papa mishmei derav, loksa bekulya achas is treifa. What means loksa? Says Rashi, that you inspect the kidney after the shechita, and you see that it's full of pus. Rashi in the last line, can go in malia mugla, full of pus inside this kidney, and you say to yourself, this animal could not have lasted much longer. Look how diseased, look at the infection that's going to spread throughout the body.
It can't flow through the blood if it's all stopped up with pus.
Exactly. So therefore, loksa bekulya achas is treifa. Ami marav, in Eretz Yisrael, they said, it depends how much pus and where did the pus get to. V'huza matoy l'chusa l'makim charitz. That's only if that this pus went all the way to the makim charitz in the kloyes. Now you're wondering to yourself, v'us meint is makim charitz? The heicha makim charitz, says Gemara, l'chivra tetusi masni. Chivra, of course, means white. Masnayim are the hips of the animal. So where there's a white strip in the middle of the kloyes, underneath the masnayim, underneath the loins, or underneath the hip. Where do we see that? If you look at the top Rashi, the Mokum Charitz, Shehagidin Mu'urin Sham, there are various sinews which are mixed in there in the middle of the kloyes. Smack in the middle of the kloya. If you have pus going halfway, up to halfway, we're okay. If it goes beyond that Mokum Charitz, then you're in trouble. We asked all of those trefoi. It's an interesting expression. Trefoi, says Rashi, means the moire harois al hatrefois. These are the rabbis that you go to if you have shailas, kusher, or treif. These are the hani trefoi. Va'omrali, and I asked them, hilchasa, what is the halacha that we just spoke about? We had now two memories. One of Rochish Bar Papa. Rochish Bar Papa was about Loksa Bekulia. Then we had the previous one, Rabbi Vira Omarova, that said if there was a nekev in the spleen, that it's treifa. That if you have that mugla, Loksa Bekulia, it's treif. Less hilchas kerbavir, we do not hold like kerbavir, because just like if you don't have the tchoil in its entirety, even if it has a nekev, it's still kusha. However, by that case of the nekev in the spleen, li'amona ele bekulshe al besumche is treifa. What does that mean? That the spleen itself has two segments to it. One segment is kulshe. Kulshe means that it is thin. Sumche means that it is thick. If in the kulshe there happens to be a little hole over there, a nekev, we do not paskin like kerbavira, the animal is still kosher. But in the sumche, if in the thick part you have a nekev over there, that's problematic, and that would that can be geferlich, and that would be treif. However, the ishtayir beik oive dinners of, if in the sumche there's still the thickness of the wall and the spleen is still the thickness of a dinner zahav, meaning that there is some insulation, even though there happens to be a nekev, it's not the nekev that goes through and through from both sides, it stops and it leaves behind at least enough flesh of the spleen, the thickness of dinner zahav, that's kosher because it acts like a plug, and therefore the animal will continue to be kosher. Ammarava, kol apoisel bereya kosher bekulya. Anytime you have a psul in the reya, you can assume it's going to be kosher in the kulya. What does that mean? Kulya, of course, being the kidneys. So give me an example. Shari nek of possible reya. We've said many times already from the beginning of the perek, if you just find the smallest hole in the reya, that's the typically grows into a sircha on the reya. So you have a nek of possible reya that makes the whole animal treif. For kosher bekulya, if you have a nek of in the kulya, it's okay. A nek of itself is gunished. The koshkein hecha the kosher bereya kosher bekulya. If it's kosher in the reya, then in the chavada kosher. Madach, you're telling me a nekev which is possible reya. It's kosher bekulya. If it's kosher bereya, the chavada kosher bekulya. Matzler of tonchuma ukloluhu. Do we have in fact that general rule that just because it's kosher in the reya, it's kosher in the kulya? I vary mugla the kosher bereya. Mugla, if you find in one of the blisters, one of the pimples on the outside of the reya, you see that there's pus there. We had this gemara already before. It's kosher bereya. However, if you find that same type of pus in the kulya, pusel bekulya, the kulya is pusel. So how could you say a moment ago... It's pusel. The pus is pusel. Thank you. So how did you go and say a moment ago, if it's kosher bereya, avad is going to be kosher bekulya? I see it's kosher bereya and it's pusel bekulya. And I have a question number two. What happens if you burst open that pimple and you find not mugla pas, you find clear water, then it's going to be kosher by both by the reya and by the kulya. And what's the kasha then? Well, didn't we say before, heicha the kosher bereya, kosher bekulya, that it's going to be, if it's kosher bereya, chavada is going to be kosher bekulya. But here I find a real case where it's kosher bereya and kosher bekulya. What's the more kasha? That's what we said. Kosher bereya, kosher bekulya. The first kasha is good, because it's saying kosher bereya, but it's still possible bekulya. We say, madach, it's kosher bereya, chavada, they're going to be kosher bekulya. That's taka good to kasha. But now that we're saying, varimayim zachen, ksheinim, hocha b'hocha, that's exactly what we said. What's the kasha? So it's not only I'm having difficulty, and we're all having difficulty. If you look at the Rashi, the last of the top lines, another line number four, all the way at the end of the line, varimayim zachen, ksheinim, hocha b'hocha, says Rashi, well, you're down in my kush. I don't understand what the kash is. That's a riot to him. That the mayim zachem is kosher bereya, kosher bekulya. What's shver? Toises, the first toises tries to give a pshat. But the Rashi is 100% right. What's the kash? Okay. Anyway, says he more right. The Elam Ravashi. Treifis komedamus ladodi. You're trying to bring a riot from reya to kulya. That this is possible and that's kosher. The kosher possible. Ein oim betreifizu, doimelizu. You cannot compare one to the other. Shari choydech mikan umeisa choydech mikan bechoysa. You can have in the same animal where you say to yourself, Madach, this is treif, tachdap, avadem, avadem is treif. Rashi gives a couple of examples. One of the examples that we had was earlier on, we had the same Gemara, if you recall, and there the Rashi said, for instance, what happens if you have a cut in the animal's leg, where part of the animal's leg is severed or amputated. So now, normally you would think that if the amputation happens to be lower on the leg towards the floor, that's probably going to be more kosher. But as the amputation gets higher and higher, then it's probably going to be treifa. And guess what? It's the other way around. That if you're going to go and cut at the bottom, especially where you have the tzoymes agidim, that's where some gidim get together and they cover the bottom of the leg. And if that was severed, then unfortunately you suffer the loss that this animal happens to be treif. However, if you didn't sever that lower part, where you have the same mosquito, but higher up on the arkuva, lamalami arkuva, and you went and you cut the leg, then it would be kosher. So you see, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense.
That sounds like a limp.
Yeah, exactly right. The limb, yeah. Get a nosher, yeah, right, exactly. We had discussed yesterday, get a nosher yesterday. You give a klap on the get a nosher. You give a patch over there, so we had a shiloh that was kosher in it. But getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara is saying now, therefore, don't look for logic. Don't say, well, I think here are special halachas, whatever those halachas are. Why is that?
Because over here, the high up, you have the hamstring.
The hamstring, and therefore that would be treif, because we like ham. Oh, boy. Anyway, Zokti Marvait, the second wide line. Now that we finished that discussion about bringing rayas from Kulia to Reya and Reya to Kulia, by the way, we talked about the Mayim Zachen that you find in the burst, blister, or pus pimple, and you find it's Mayim Zachen. There's no pus, it's just Mayim Zachen. We said it's kosher. Says Gemara, one second. Mayim Zachen, Kshem Le'amoran, Ela Detzili, that they happen to be clear water. Avalachiri, if it's muddied water, cloudy water, it's treifah. V'chitzili Nami Le'amoran, even if it's clear cup water, El Deloisriach, that there is no delicious aroma emanating, meaning a stench. Avasariach, but if it's smacked, it stinked, ayayay, treifah, even if it be the clearest water, Nishgit. And returning to the Kulia for a moment, Akulia Shehiktina. What happens? A kulia is present. It didn't go, and we said in the Mishnah, no kulias whatsoever, it's still kosher. Here we're talking about that the kulia, presumably because of some sort of disease or whatever infection, it has diminished in size. So the kulia shektina, bedaka, if you're talking about a behemadaka, a lamb, a goat, cotton, ad kipul, until the size of a pull, which is a bean, like you use in a chulin, for instance, a chulin bean is not kipul, then it's still kosher. If it's a ktina, ad kipul, less than that, no good. Because if you're talking about a large behema, holy cow, then ad kanova beinus will be the size of a middle-sized grape. As long as it's that size, it's still kosher. Less than that, you're in trouble. Skip the parentheses. Nitla ha'aim. What happens if you have a pregnant animal and it's missing its aim? Now, aim over here doesn't mean its mother, but it does have a similar connotation. Tana, he ha'aim, he tarfachas, he shalfuchas. There are different mishnayos which use different terms. Our mishnah talked about chaser ha'aim shala. Other mishnayos use the term tarfachas. Others say shalfuchas. These are all synonyms, and they all mean the womb of an animal. Even though the womb is missing, and therefore presumably this animal cannot reproduce, but that doesn't have anything to do with its continued lifespan. And as Barry said yesterday, even with women, lahavdil, they have the same concept of a hysterectomy or a hysterectomy that they took out the womb, but the person can survive. And we continue on. What happens if the reya was charusa? Charusa means that the animal heard a terrible, terrible loud sound. It got so scared that the reya now became hard as charoyish shel dekel. Charoyish shel dekel means as like a palm tree. You take a leaf of a palm tree, not when it's still nice and soft and you can use it for a lulav, but you let it go and stay on the tree and it gets almost hard like a rock. Anyway, if it gets charusa, so now the Mishnah said, if it's bidei shemoyim, if the reason why it shriveled up and it shrunk and it got so hard is because of a bidei shemoyim, Rashi says, for instance, you heard a terrible thunderbolt. Sometimes you're sitting at home, and all of a sudden you hear this thunderbolt, and you get kind of Wow, what was that? Wow, it sounded almost like an explosion. Cholila. Anyway, b'dei shemayim, it's ksheira, because then the animal can revert back to its normal rea. B'dei odom, if it was talking because of an explosion that somebody went and threw a bomb or cholila, something like that, or just made this huge noise, and that's how the animal got skier treifa, then the animal's shriveling and shrinkage of the rea stays in place. It will not change. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar, adds, Af bidei kol abriyos, not only the cases that we gave until now, but the same thing would be, what happens if it happens to be the roar of a lion that scared the animal out of its wits? Same thing would apply. Now the obvious question is, what same would apply? Af bidei kol abriyos, that means it'd be like bidei shemoyim, and it's ksheira. Or you say bidei kol abriyos, it's like bidei kol adam, and it's treif, and that's Yimor Shaila. Yiboylo Reb Shimon Elazar Areishikoy Ulekula, and he's saying just like if it was a lightning bolt, it was a thunderbolt, and that's what caused the animal to get scared. It's kosher because Bidei Shemayim. The same thing. Bidei Bria is a roaring of a lion. The same thing. Or Yaseifakoy Ulechumra. No, just like we said, Bidei Yodim is treif. It is also treif. Toshima. We have a brisa directly on point. The San Yecharusa Bidei Odom is treif. So Reb Shimon Elazar Oymer, not only Bidei Odom, Af Bidei Kol Abriyos, it's also Treifa. So clearly Reb Shimon Elazar is going on the Seifa Ulechomer. Next, Shikligmar, you all remember Perek HaSfina from Bava Basra, where it tells us that Rav Baruch Hana was traveling in the desert, and there were some very interesting things that happened there. One of the things was that a Mitzri was going with him, Taya Mitzri, and what did they do? They found that there was a hole in the Midbar, and there was smoke coming up, and every 30 days he would go in here, Moshe Emes, the Terase Emes, and the Teres Koirach was not Emes. Oh, that was the place of Koirach, last week, Sedra, that's where Rabbi Bachana, he asked the Taya says, yes, we hear it every Rosh Chodesh, that the Teres Emes, and that Koirach is never there down below. Okay, but that's not what our Gemara is telling us now, but the Gemara tells us now Rabbi Chana was walking in the Midbar, maybe the same time, maybe a different time, and Ashkach, and he found Tahu Hano Dichri, that some make a Reya Dithu, meaning we shechted these Dichri Aschorim, which means Elim, rams, and then they found inside the rams, ay, 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 some make a Reya Dithu. Their Reya, their lungs were tzomik, were shrunken and shriveling. Yeah, not shriveling, they're shriveled already. And therefore they were like the charoyas that we spoke about before. And now the big problem is, these are rams that have been wandering in the desert for a while. I, Rabbi Bachana, just came into the desert now, and I don't know why they shriveled. Did they shrivel? Was it Bidei Adam? Was it Bidei Shemoyim? Was it Bidei Kolabriyos? How can I go and prove one way or the other? You cannot ask the animal, because even if the animal was like Mr. Ed and was able to speak, the animal shouldn't toit, much in yeshachtan the animal. So how are we going to determine how
so it was? He says, I don't know what I'll do.
You don't know what I'll do. Very good. If it was alive, it might have gone to a shrink to find out how it shrunk. But you can't go anymore to the shrink because it's shrunk toit. So how are we going to figure it out? This is document. You like that one? It was good.
Very good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I'm learning.
Keep ramming it through.
Yeah, keep ramming it. Anyway, also show by Midrash, and they tell them, this is the famous test. This test is going to remind you of a test that we had before to determine whether there was a puncture in the lung from the outside, from the inside, but it's slightly different.
The flat tire.
Yeah. So Amalek, so they told them, Bekaita, during the summer months, what you should do is icy mishichli chivri. Mishichli means a basin, says Rashi, made out of kli cheres that was white. And what do you do with it? Malinu ma'ikri, fill it up with cold water. Vanchinu, and go and take that shriveled up rea and place it in the cold water and leave it there amesles for 24 hours. If after 24 hours you go back to the basin, you see hadron berion, that you see that it is now back to life, the midei shemayim, obviously there's a midei shemayim, and that's the reason why it didn't remain charoyis forever, and therefore the animal is kosher, ukshedah. The Eloi, however, if it didn't go back to life, it's still that shriveled, shrunk piece of rea, is treif. That would indicate that that was not from midei shemayim, but it was midei adam, or midei the briois, like Reb Shimon Elazar said. Bistav, if it's during the winter months, aitzim shichli shichumi, Rashi shichumi means that it's a black type of basin. Rashi has another pshat that the difference between chivri and shichumi is whether we're talking that it's from kli cheres or whether kli nechoshes. Rashi has two pshat. One, if you look, where's that Rashi? Mishlichli chivri. It's almost halfway down the omen in the Rashi's. Shal kli cheres is lovan. Shchimi yeshchoyres is black. Vein metzanois kolkach kelavonis. The difference between the white and the black. This is a warmer, and this is
black and white.
It's black and white. Ublashin moiri says shchimi yeshchol nechoshes. And chivri shol cheres. Okay, is a machlekes. Anyway, beginning back to Gemara, now we bring the mishichli shichumi. Now it's in the winter month. Go and take such a black or such a copper kli. Umalina, may fill it with water, and this water has to be pshuri, which is lukewarm water. Manchinu, I must let's leave it for 24 hours. Again, ihad rabari, if it gets back to its freshness, it loses its shriveled nature. It's kosher. Imloy, it's treif. That's the foolproof test to tell. Yes, Rabbi, you have a question.
I don't understand the difference. Why is the difference if it's bidei shamayim or bidei adam or bidei ari? We look at the lung. The lung is in a particular state. What difference does it make in reason? We look at the materials of the organ, if it's okay or not.
Any one of these trefois, which we had listed in our Mishnah or listed in the Gemara, doesn't mean that the animal is dead or about to die, especially if you hold treifa ain't a chaya. It's a treifa, but it's not going to live forever. It better, it might live still 6 months, maybe live up to 12 months. It was not in danger of imminent death. The Gemara is telling us about these reyos, that sometimes the shriveled up reya can regenerate and go back to its original state, and then it will be kosher. And sometimes it cannot. I can't wait around because the animal is already dead. I can't say, okay, let's see now what's going to happen. Presumably at this point, it's not going to rejuvenate and regenerate on its own because the animal is dead. But had the animal been alive and had not shechted it, just waited another month or two or three, it would have been a normal, regular reya. But now it's too late because it already shechted it. So how did it get such a shrunk? Oh, don't you remember yesterday? It was that lightning bolt. Everybody, even my reya, shrunk for a few hours because I was so terrified. Or because there was this huge explosion, Rachman al-Itzlan, etc., etc. So, if you can be toila one or the other by the behema, givaldik. But if I can't be toila, so then you have this way of testing it post-mortem, whether the shriveling was because of natural causes, the Rabbeinu Shalom, or was because of Bnei Adam, or because of Chayis. The final case in the Mishnah was the gluda case. Gluda case means that part of the oir, part of the skin of the animal, fell off, and is no longer present. So he had in the Mishnah is a machloikis between Rav Meir and the Chacham. Now, how much fell off, how much is left, we're going to deal with shortly. But in the meantime, we have a machloikis Tanur Rabbanan. The Braise quotes just like a Mishnah Hagluda, where you have part of the hot, part of the skin has come off. Rav Meir Machshir, Rav Meir says Kusha, Chum and Paisel. Ukvar Heyed Elozer Safra, V'yoychanan bin Gudgada, Al Hagluda Shepsula. In other words, that they paskin like the Chachamim, that it's possible. Om Reb Shimon Abluza, Chuzah by Reb Meir. Reb Meir eventually changed his mind, and he also holds that it's possible. Mechlal, from the fact that Reb Shimon Abluza says that Reb Meir changed his mind, obviously he holds that there's a machloikis palig Reb Meir begluda. Not only Reb Shimon Abluza holds that, that's what it says in the Mishnah, that's what it says in the Braisa. But the Gemara is focusing on Reb Shimon Abluza because we're going to ask a stira Reb Shimon Abluza. Since Reb Shimon Elazar says very clearly that there was a machloikis between a mayor and the chacham, and a mayor palig begluda, what time do we have a praisa? I'm Reb Shimon Elazar. Loi nachliku Rameva chacham ala gluda shepsula. They didn't have a machloikis. Everybody agrees, even a mayor, that it's possible. Look for hey, Reb Ushi ben Ushi, Reb Yudah haboisa. Boisa means a person who is a perfumer. Lefnei Reb Akiva mishum Reb Tarifin ala gluda shepsula. But as long as it's a xella, a xella remaining of the hot of the skin, it's ksheira. But what do I have over here? I have a stir Reb Shimon Elazar. First Reb Shimon Elazar says, Reb Meir argues. And then Reb Shimon Elazar says, no, there was never any argument. They both agreed. Make up your mind. Amram Nachman Yitzchak, my let nechliku, loy omad Reb Meir b'machlu kasoi. Avad and Avad, it was originally machlekes. That's what it says in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, Gluder, Meir, Machshir, Chum, and Paislin. And the original Reb Shimon Elazar said, machlekes, Palig, Meir, Gluder, yes, it's a machlekes. What did he mean when he said loy nechleku? It means Rav Meir eventually changed his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Rav Shimon Elazar said. Rav Shimon Elazar chozer by Rav Meir. Rav Meir taka changed his mind and no longer argues. They originally argued, but no longer shalom.
Can you glue the skin back?
Can you glue the skin back? That's a good question. Zorki Moravaita. We're going to see the shear of the kisela. Amamah. And the shtai by kisela kshay. Now, gzuntai. On the surface, it sounds like of the entire animal body, you have one kisela. Kisela doesn't mean a stone over here. It means a coin. And the coin of a seller, how much could it be? A chlice, a half an inch, whatever. If in Shaiba kisela, it's already kosher. The Gemara realizes that that's not what it means. Heicha, where's that kisela? So we can have a machlek. Some of you know, Mishmuel. Al pnei ha-shedra kula. You have to go down the entire spot where the shedra is. That's the spine, which goes from basically the neck all the way close to the back legs.
Mm-hmm.
That long spine. If on the entire thing there's a kisela of oyer, then it's going to be kosher. Now the question is, how do you measure that kisela? Iboilu, the orech v'katan, the chimitzar v'flo havi kisela, oidilma kereich v'sela al p'dei ha-shedra kula. The first pshat is that in fact you have like a very, very, very thin strip of oyer that goes from the top to the bottom. Were you to remove all of that oyer and now make it into a circle, in other words, it's like a long thread, a long strip, now go and put it into a circular form, does it have the shear of a cell or not? So this obviously would mean a very, very small amount of oil is enough. Or you don't know, maybe it means a roich of salah, but they call it shedra kula. You start from the beginning until the end, and the entire shedra has a width of the size of a cella going down the whole shedra. That's, of course, much, much more. What is the din when you're saying kisela? Toshima, the parishim, the roi, mishmei, the shmuel, the roich of salah, but they call it shedra kula, all the way from top to bottom, roich of salah. Rabbi Bachana Omar, Rashi Parakim. What's made Rashi Parakim? Says Rashi, it's much more than the, just the Shedra. It's got to be where all the major joints are. If you take a look at the Rashi, Rashi Parakim, Rashi is about 60% down the Omid. Rashi Parakim, Bechol Pirkei Chulyoiseh, wherever you have a break in the Chulyois, Chulyois, the vertebrae on top of the spine, Vatzomis Ashoik, and the thigh bone, Vayerach, and that's the lower thigh, the tib and the fib that they call in English. But in Shir Kisela, you need Sela over all of that. So it's not just down the Shedra, but the Rashi Prak and the major joints as well. Reb Lozman and Tigna Shimon Reb Lozman Reb Yanei Omar. Mokim Tiburai. Tiburai, of course, is where you have the belly button, the navel. That's where you have to have Kisela. As you know, the Gemara elsewhere says, according to at least one Mandi Omar, that Brias Odom, presumably Brias Behemoth, starts from the Tibur, starts from the navel, from the belly button. So maybe that's why that's important, have a kisela covered over there, that would protect the animal. So the Gemara is asking really mirror image. You just said now, as long as you have a little bit of R remaining on the Shedra, or the Rashi Prakim, or on the Tibur, it's kosher. What happens if those key places, there is no R, but you have R throughout the rest of the body? Would that compensate for missing the R on these Rashi Prakim, or on the Shedra, or on the Tibur? So you want to take Tishbiyatayat. Omarav, kol or kule matzil begluda, chutz mi or besa process. We said that R can contribute to be matzil, even its kisela, here or there, matzil on twice, on one of the knees, or one of the ankles, one of those major base prokim like we had before. So says Rav, kol or kuli matzel begluda chutz mi or base process. We're talking about the or which is all the way down below, which is down below. That means, let's say, from the ankle down to the floor, you have oyer around the leg. What's not dafke by shore? Could even be by an aisle, or it could be by a yidi, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so what's the din if that oyer base process is considered, says Rashi, to be so thin, it has a status like basar, not the status of oyer, that cannot help in the process of regeneration of other oyer, so that the animal should be kosher. Exclude oyer base process from your cheshbin of kisela in terms of trying to regenerate the animal. No, it's also nami matzel that can also save the day and save this behemah. even the Orbeis Brassus. In other words, what the Machloek between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is, what is the status of that Or? Does it have a status like genuine Or, like the regular skin on the rest of the animal? Or no, it has a status of Basa. Is Boimene Rabbasim Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan had said that it has a status of regular Or, and it's Matzil. Oh, so Rabbi Asitaka asked this question to Rabbi Yochanan. Or, based on Rabbi Yatsa Begluta, Hamalei Matzil. Yup, this is good. Omalei Limatanu Rabbeinu, L'choyri you, Rabbi Yochanan, have told us just the opposite. What's just the opposite? We have a, Mara's quoting now, a Gemara from Psachim, from elsewhere. Eilu Sh'ayri Sein, this is a Vov or a Zayin. So it looks like a Vov. Okay, so what's the Vov? It's a Mishnah L'kama. Okay, so what does it say over there? Eilu Sh'ayri Sein Kibsarim, the following Oireis of the animal do not have the status of Or, they have the status of Basar.
Are these Shmuel Shvatsim?
We're talking about regular animals.
Okay.
But here, what are we talking about in terms of, for what halacha? For halacha of tuma v'tahar. And that is, basar of a behemah, which is a nevela, what's the din of it? It's metame. The oir, however, is not bottled to the basar, and it's not metame. The oir is similar to the atzomis, as well as the horns, as well as the tefayim, and things like that. Because it's not the actual animal itself, it's, you know, it's additional parts. And therefore, the following are saying kibsoran, are deemed to be like basar, because since they are so thin, then people eat from them. Just like we have an ongoing machloikis between the masses. Should you eat the skin of the chicken with the chicken itself, or do you leave the skin behind and you don't eat it? Some people say, oh, it's delicious, it adds something up. Others say, nah, come on, you just throw it out, right? Okay, so you have the same shayla now with the or basal process. Does it have a din of basar, and therefore it's edible? Or does it din that's an or, and you're not going to go and eat from the or of behema? The or of behema is obviously much thicker than that of, it's like leather. It's not like the or that you have on a chicken. Okay.
So if it's more genuinely or, it will regenerate? Is that what we're trying to establish? That if it's or based on process, there's this intermediate questionable area. Is it like or and regenerates, or is it like basar and not?
That's a machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan.
Okay.
But this is a separate halacha. Okay. Is a halacha of what is matami in the animal,
okay,
only the basar and not the or. But the following oireis are so flimsy and so soft, they become bottled to the basar.
Is it either or?
Either or. You know, you bring so much or, so much light to our discussions. English or is saying kibsarim. Or base a process. That or, since it's so flimsy, it's so soft, it's like basar. So therefore that, in our case, would not regenerate. And that's the Shiley is going to ask on Rabbi Yochanan in a moment, because Rabbi Yochanan says it's muscle. Yeah, okay, so we're going to get back to that in a moment. But first we're just talking about that Mishnah. Anyway, so what do we have now? We have L'choira Shtar Kikash and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said before, Or Beisar Prosois, it's Matzel. Matzel sounds like because it's bona fide Or, and Or can regenerate, and that's why the animal is Kshera and not a Trefa. But then the same Rabbi Yochanan said, L'maratanu Rabbeinu, English are saying, Kipsarim, Or Beisar Prosois, that it has a status of Basar and not Or. Basar cannot regenerate skin, so the chori, this skin can also not regenerate. It's a chastira, Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, Malay, al takni tegni, don't ask me that kasha. Shabaloshim yachan ani shoyna oisa. That halacha that we just learned, I learned it b'shem yachidim and not b'shem the rabbim. Who's yachidim? What are you talking about? The sign we have a brisa. Now we're getting off from a regular animal to a kachim. You're shechting an oila, and as you know, you have to go and put everything on the mizbeach. Everything on the mizbeach?
No,
the or you don't put on the mizbeach. That goes to the kahanim, exactly right. So what happens now? You shoich it esu oila, and b'shas you're doing it, for those of you that are so upset that we haven't spoken about pigal in a long time, now is our chance. Shoich it esu oila lahak yikzayis mi or shul tachas o aliyah. Chutzlam koyme posel, the ain by karis, chutzlas mane, pigal bachiyavan lakaris. You have the classic case of a machsheves, chutzlas mane, chutzlam koyme, chutzlas mane, of course, is capital P, pigal karis, it's chutzlam koyme, small p, it's posel, the ain by karis. But what do you have in mind of it? Not to eat the oila, but rather to be makter, a kazayis, mi or shultachas alia. That's or from underneath the alia, since it happens to be so soft. You leave it on the aliyah when you put it on the mizbeach. You do not remove it. It does not go to the kahanim. So it's like the basar. Therefore, it's a bona fide pigul machshava. and you get either karis or aimed karis, depending with some karis and some money. That has nothing to do with us because we're talking about our base of process. Ah, continues on the same brisa. Eliezer ben Yehuda ish Ivlam, that's the name of a place. Omer Mishum of Yaakov, Chen Omer Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Ichus, also the name of a place. Omer, what do we say? Mishum Reb Shimon. Echad or base of process. Oh, our base of process. The echad or horoshul egalarach. The echad or shul tachas aliyah. Oh, that same or shul tachas aliyah. The chol shemonu chacham gabitum elush arisein kibsaron. All of them, that same halacha would apply. What would apply? This pigledin. What do you mean? Any kol shemonu chacham gabitum. Lohavi, this comes to include or base of boishes. If you're talking about a female animal, the oir around the mokim erva down below. Again, chutz from koyimai, possible emay karis. Chutz is manai, pigal v'chayavon alav karis. So what was quoted among these? Was quoted among these, the oir shul beis process. Who is the one that said this halacha? Tanoim that I've never even heard of in my life.
They said b'shim b'shim b'chay.
Okay, maskim. Reb Shimon didn't say it. They said Shimon. Okay. Say Eliezer ben Yehuda ish Yechlam, and you have this Reb Yankov v'chein Amir Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Igos Shimon Reb Shimon. And even if it's Reb Shimon is still a yachid the mokim rabim. They tak all hold this din that the oral base of process has a din like basar, and therefore you put it on the mizbeach. And if you have in mind a machshava to be mefagel the korban, it'll be pigel yesh bekor.
So it doesn't have the status of or to be matzel the animal from the untreifa in shechita skulin.
Yeah, exactly. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that I said, Rabbi Yochanan says matzel is according to the rabbin. The majority of the rabbanon of Chazal they hold like me that this or has a status of or, and therefore it'll matzel. Regenerate and it'll be matzel. That we said the or base of process is like basar, and therefore. Legabi Hilchas Tumitz like Basar, oh, that goes in accordance with a Das Yachid of Reb Shimon, or those that were quoting Reb Shimon that says that it has a status of Basar and not a status of Or. Stop over here, Rabbi Yisrael, you continue to my Havahu.